Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The Inner Game is about how we nurture and attend to our mind, body, spirit health, and how that deepens our relationship to our purpose and to the contribution we want to be in bringing forth a more beautiful world. These are conversations with people who are committed to making an evolutionary difference with their lives from a place of balance and love and service. This is the second show of a new series within the podcast, a revisiting with past guests to check in on how they're relating to the challenges afoot on the planet and how their spiritual lives are providing resilience and agency, two things we need in increasingly big ways. On the show this month, my dear friend, Tara Sheehan. She's the creator of Breathe Lab, and where she shares breath work for total well-being. She's also in the process of creating a land regeneration project and a sanctuary for bison in southern Colorado called Onia, which means to breathe in Lakota. So beautiful. So welcome, Tara.
Thank you, Gwen.
You were on the show in 2017, and so much has happened since then. You learned about rewilding the land and bought the 45 acres that is now Onia, awaiting a bison herd. And you've spent more time in India, devoted to your spiritual evolution. And you also lost your beloved son, Aiden, to suicide. Oh, I can feel him in my heart right now. And the gifts of your spiritual path, that are keeping you whole are so profound. And you shared such a poignant lesson about parenting with me. And I asked you if you would share it with those listening, because I think it's such a gift. So, because so many of us as parents think our job is to shield our kids from suffering. And you had such an incredible insight into that. And I just thought it would help other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you, Gwen. It is the most important journey of my life. And to give context, Aiden, he was a real mystic, a yogi, and a professional slopestyle skier who loved to fly off giant jumps and inspire kids. He was a ski coach up at AVSC. And he was also a young man who went through a very profound journey with his girlfriend, Alyssa, who had cancer. And 2 years into trying to find a cure and make it through, she passed away. And so right at the same time, Alyssa went to the non-physical, to the spirit realm, COVID came in. And it was such an intense time, and there was so much around death during that time, people afraid of dying and people afraid of living. Mm. And it was very confusing for Aiden, because that's a lot to go through all at once.
So much.
And so to address your reflection about what I learned on this journey is that Aiden didn't want to be here. There was just so much chaos, and he just saw the world turned upside down. And then he got tinnitus. He had ear ringing, he had sleeplessness. And to your point, I kept trying to quote cure him with all of my spiritual medicine. Aiden, if you just meditate, Aiden, if you just do this, Aiden, if you just would, you know, whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah. Cause that's what we do.
Instead of Aiden, I accept you as you are, no matter who you show up to be. Mm. And that's the biggest lesson, is not to fix, not to change, just to be present, and not to project what we think our journey of our children should be. Mm. Just to accept whatever shows up at that moment.
It's so big. And I'm sure that's an ongoing practice. I know it is for me. And It was such a, it just really, that was big for me. And I hope that will serve others who are experiencing all the challenges of being a parent right now to these souls who have chosen to be here on the planet with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what we have to understand, this is to everyone who is calling themselves a parent. This is very, very clear. These are not our children. And in the spiritual, all traditions, it's called non-attachment. This is not my body. This is that which created me, right? It's the creator of everything from, you know, plants to sky to my fingernails to my car. Is it really mine? And they say attachment creates suffering, right? Because if it's mine and I lose it or it gets broken, then I'm going to suffer that perhaps I did something wrong or be mad about it being mine. And that was my greatest lesson with Aiden. He was not my son. Mm-hmm. He was a soul incarnated to have a journey as a human being. And once I learned, especially from my friend, we call her Mukta Shelley. She went to India with me, and the word Mukta means freedom. And 6 months before Aiden crossed over, her daughter, Omni, 13 years old, she crossed over. Mm-hmm. And so Shelley told me that I suffer when I'm in the identity of her mother. Because if I were in my identity, then I could have done something. I should have done something. And it just happened the way it happened. So note to parents, they are not our children. They're, what do you want to call, God, the higher power, the creation of the universe. They are the children of that. And once we can let go of that and find that inner loving, you began this by doing a prayer about how to affect people. And if we can open the hearts of everyone listening to the spectacular human being you are right here, right now, no need to fix or change, then we've done our work, haven't we, Gwen?
Mm. Man, that's the daily practice, isn't it?
I love myself just as I am, just as I am, messy and broken open, and just as I am. I love this being that has a name and that is beautiful, but she's made of the same life force energy. He's made of the same life force energy of everything in the whole universe.
Hmm. And that is such a beautiful source of, I don't know, just calm and acceptance and security in a way. You know, if there's any security, it's in that. You know, I've been hosting retreats for several years now to support people in reclaiming their innate connection with the earth. You know, a relationship that is so key to our wholeness and evolution as human beings. And what I wanted to kind of open up now to what's going on with the relationship that you're developing with this beautiful piece of land you have put yourself on to steward, and say a little bit about, you know, how that relationship is, how you're experiencing that right now at Onia.
That is the perfect question. They call her Unchimakan, Lakota, and the indigenous traditions, they call her grandmother Earth. And we all know that if we sit down on the earth and we slow our breath way down, we get really still. It's the greatest medicine of all to be still. We feel safe. We feel secure. And so that's why I love this Dharma, this project, because it's all about Grandmother Earth and bringing everything back from the bison to the beavers and all life that we didn't realize we're connected to. It's a web. It's a healing web. And it's amazing because in indigenous traditions, we were all indigenous at one time. There's no delineation between your mother and the mother nature. your sister and the rabbit brush, your brother and the fish that swim in the creek, they are all relatives.
Yeah.
And if you look at our DNA and our particles, we all have the same particles. And so I relate to everything as a relative. And what's beautiful is, Gwen, I'm alone there a lot. It's the universe, the divine universe has conspired to have me be there alone a lot. And so they really, truly are my friends. And one day I was having little mind suffering, getting out of bed. Oh, you know, my mind was saying, what am I doing here? I'm all alone. And this bird was singing. You know, I call it the alarm clock bird. Burr, 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 woo, 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 trying to get me out of bed. And another bird came almost to the window, or the door has glass, right up to the door. And was cheeping, cheep, cheep. And honestly, I connected to the birds, and they were saying, we're worried about you. You are usually up earlier and you're still in there. And I felt it. I leapt out of bed in the greatest joy and I sprung out. Here I am. I'm okay. It's just that my thinking's causing my suffering.
Right.
My mind is going off on a rodeo.
I'm being a human at the moment.
And they are so cute. And I got it real quick. I got to tell you. So it's about connecting with nature and really in a deep way of the best friends, the love of our lives. And I when I go visit you, Gwen, I had somebody had thefted Onea while I was away. So my sister sent me cameras, security cameras. So it's like a baby monitor. And one day when I was just up in recently in Carmadale with you and others, I was looking at that camera, and then I heard the alarm clock bird, and I went, oh, wow, there it is. And I swear to you, it knew I was listening, so it got louder. Here I am. We're together again. And
yeah.
So that's what it's been like at Onea. And so it's starting with the small, the little microorganisms in the soil and the birds and the butterflies, and then moving to the bigger, the bison, and the bison rewilding the land with the way they graze and the way they poop and just the way they move on the earth in a roaming way to heal it.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I remember talking with you about how, because they're so heavy and their hooves are so big, they make these, you know, big indentations in the earth, which actually become water catchments, which we know, you know, keeping the water on the land is one of the biggest ways that it regenerates itself. And just to start to understand, you know, the role that they're playing. And I'd love for you to say a little bit more about the mystical element that you experience in bison, and a little bit more about the role that you think they can play right now. And I'll just say before you launch into that you're listening to Katie and Kay. This is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to the Inner Game podcast. I'm talking with Tara Sheehan about how her spiritual practice is catalyzing her service in the world. And so, yeah, I would love to hear more about the deeper relationship with the bison.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bison are what we all want. They're a herd. And they were many. There were over 100 million bison. And they say it took 3 to 5 days on a horse to ride through bison herds. So imagine that.
Wow.
And I feel like humans, the Lakota said, we learn from them. We learn from bison. We watch the way they are with their babies. We watch the way they are with predators. Bison actually circle and point out when predators come with their babies inside the circle. They walk into a storm, not away from it, to get through faster. But also, I think that determination and that courage is part of the quality of what we can learn as human beings. And for me, the mystical quality is that, okay, 100 million bison were, in less than 30 years, were taken from the earth. And we call it, you know, genocide when there are human beings. You know, take the Jewish people in recent and massive genocide. But those souls, when they leave, they reincarnate.
Mm.
they reincarnate. And in the indigenous way, they say, when the bison return, the healing will happen. So how many souls, and we evolve each time we come back into a life, we evolve. So bringing back what we say, 40 million by 2050, they double every year. The bison herd double every year. So imagine the high beings incarnated to really move our consciousness forward, to act in that what we call oneness consciousness, where we're not thinking in the ego perspective of separation. We're thinking, I hear Desmond Tutu, together. We're doing this together.
Yeah.
And that's what we all, like you say, drop into your heart. And we all have a heart coherence, this magnetism that we can, if you've noticed, when you walk into a room and you drop into your heart and you connect with others' hearts, there's a coherence there. And to me, that's that massive coherence of the biggest land animal that has the biggest heart, and that heart field connects to all life.
I wonder what your vision is of, like, when you will get bison on the land, what you're thinking will start to happen in the part of the state that you're in, and, you know, just the larger, I mean, of course, there's that heart coherence. So I imagine that's going to be a big part of it. But what's the vision of what that might cause to start to have emerge in your area and elsewhere?
Yeah. So I'm doing this in that intuitive way. We're singing, like the Lakota taught me, you have to charm everything back. And so the vision is a very small beginner starter herd on Onea. Onea is 38 acres, and then there are neighboring lands that, well, we're working with everybody. They know around me that I want to bring bison. It's going to really heal the land that the people around me have. And there are 40,000 BLM acres attached to Onea. Mm. And so the education about the importance of, these are a climate change healer.
Right.
And it's, I call Onea a climate change herd, because in massive numbers, in massive grasslands growing back, are like the lungs of the Amazon, truly, because they're kicking up so much oxygen and they're sequestering carbon. So it's starting with a small herd and using that as an educational tool to bring people into this magical energy of the bison. My neighbor who has a herd of, had nearly 100, has about 60, said, I started with 4, Tara. And so just starting small and then allowing the bison to inform us about how they want to roam and grow is really important to me. And so we've done these planting seeds with the bison dances and such. And so I'm just opening to, we'll get our fence lines a little more secured, and I'm actually looking for volunteers. But here's the caveat, Gwen, and you and I know this. The foundation of Onea is to breathe. And so everyone helping with our project learns breath work and meditation, because we show up as the best version of ourselves, and we're able to work with others because we're not bringing in a lot of drama. And even if we are, we're understanding that to heal it makes you pretty superhuman. You have a lot of creative energy when you're not stuck in suffering and stories. And so that part of it, that, you know, people that are in that consciousness that want to come either to heal and then participate, or on that healing path, on that path to wholeness, and then participate. That's how Onea is unfolding. And I'm determined, honestly, to get these 4 bison in the next few months at Onea, because we do have the capacity to host them.
That's so exciting. I want to be there to help welcome them. Can I come?
You will so be there, Gwen, because I have learned so much from you. You are such a mentor and anchor energy for so many people, and you've given your life to helping people be free of suffering. Mm-hmm. And it would be an honor to host you. It would be an honor to have you come. The other thing is that you believe in my vision. You've seen me walk this path, and you support me unconditionally.
The honor goes both ways. you mentioned to me when you were telling me the story of Onea about the hawks that were there. And I have recently had some hawk visitation. And so in that, I've been kind of re-looking at hawk medicine. And animals and birds and all of them have medicine. And they, when they visit us, you know, when we're aware of it, there are many blessings. So, and it occurred to me that this thing that I wanted to share was beyond just you and me that are getting this. This is really something that I think all of us can take in right now. So this is about the red-tail hawk medicine. And it says, red is the color of ground, earth, belonging, family, and tribe. All of that first chakra energy. Our material reality and the collective consciousness that we can create for each other to move us forward as a race or hold us back. As our spiritual maturity grows, our influence in the collective can become one that is positive, healing, and uplifting, generating benefit in expansive ways. So, man, that's the opportunity we have right now in grounding with the earth, in rebuilding and reclaiming that relationship, that sense of belonging that has been so stripped away from our culture that puts us inside and away from the land. So in going back into that, reclaiming that, building that relationship, we become, you know, these evolutionary catalysts. And that was just, wow, that was just a beautiful piece of medicine that I wanted to share, not with just you, but with everyone. And maybe you can feed back on how that strikes you, have being and what your hawk visitation was, the beginning days of Onea.
Yeah, that was so well put. And, you know, the hawks, the messengers, right? What are the messages that we're not hearing?
Yeah.
That we can listen to when we get really still and quiet. And when I, Scott Redhorse and I arrived at Onea to look at the land, there are four or five hawks circling us. And my neighbor said, this is so unusual. And the hawk sees a perspective from the sky. So what are we not seeing? So if we go up and we look around at our life, and I like the appreciation of miracles. I'm like, wow, so many miracles. Oh my gosh, look at how many miracles. Drawing back, whoa, whoa, miracle, 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 miracle. That's a miracle, right? I mean, that's so much of the red tail hawk energy too, is just look at the miracles. You know, your breath is a miracle. The fact you're here is a miracle. Mm. There's food in your refrigerator. Wow, how did it get there? Grandmother Earth gave it, right? Like, suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, just in that reflective space is amazing. And animals give us that reflection because they are totems for the way they live and the way they thrive. And I want to add to that my latest visitation, and you're going to laugh so hard, and this is very apropos for what we're talking about, especially with Aiden. Mm. And we began this about Aiden taking his life and now being in the spirit realm, he's available to me 24/7, just to let everybody know. I mean, Aiden Angel flying with me, and it's incredible. But we were talking about not fixing, right? And it's about sovereignty. It is about sovereignty. We are sovereign beings. And if we can accept each other as sovereign and free, then life gets really easy. So the other day, 2 days ago, I said to the universe at large, I said, just show me a sign that I'm in the right place at Onea, and just, you know, what's the medicine? Well, went on a bike ride, came back, and do you know what the fiercest animal in nature is? The fiercest animal.
The badger.
Gwen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yep.
A baby and a mama badger were right at the end of the driveway. And that little baby, hissed at me. And I sang to it. Which I do to all life every day. And I sang, and it looked at me like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be afraid of me. I said, no, I love you. You're beautiful. And think about the badger. Okay, the badger's badass. The badger, you don't mess with badger, right?
Yeah.
And we as humans, we want to have that quality of don't change me. I am okay as I am. I'm sovereign and I'm free. And that's something we really have to look to. Oh, I'm more comfortable if you're like me. No, let them be them. Be more comfortable being you. Mm-hmm. And the other part of the badger is tenacious, very tenacious. You know, it'll go after prey. It'll dig its little hole, and it's got, you know, teeth and claws. And so I read that those qualities about badger, and then it goes into its hole, right? And that's the place where we get quiet and still, like when the hawk's really high in the sky, same thing, quiet and still. And everything, we call it, like we get guided, we get downloaded in that silence for the next right step to take in life. And my takeaway for everybody is let other people be who they are. Don't change them, don't fix them, because you don't want to get the badger. Because you will at a certain point. They'll turn around and tell you, back the F off.
Yeah.
Because I need to be exactly where I'm at right now. Mm. Please and thank you. And so let's take that medicine. It's very important.
Oh, well, that's a beautiful place for us to wrap up. Oh, man. Thank you all for listening today. You know, it occurs to me that, you know, another piece of hawk energy and perhaps badger energy too is to keep working on your resilience and keep showing up, because we're here for a purpose. We're here on the right path, and our spiritual lives are our way of guiding ourselves and navigating. You can join the Inner Game Facebook page and share some thoughts. You can find past shows on Apple Podcasts or on the kdnk.org website. Until next time, and I said this last time, remember that spiritual practice and connection is the foundation of resilience.
Are swift, rocks are ancient, mountains are high.